This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game, but the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once single points are scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Hour two kicking off in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Hit us with some hour two headlines, Draven.
Well, it is official. We struck midnight last night and the lockout began. MLB for the first time in how long? How long? 20-something years we've had a lockout?
I hope they're locked out for
and baseball?
Years.
Baseball.
I mean, I guess the – I don't know if that's the last time we've had a lockout, but the – I mean, the strike was, what, 94?
First work stoppage since 1994-95. Yeah. So how many years is that? Let's do some math. Yeah.
Be 26, 27, depending on how you wanted to look at it.
Long time ago. Long time ago.
I mean, it's technically – I can't quit yelling. I didn't yawn 2 days straight. I've been sleeping,
Wake
too.
Wake up, man.
I've been sleeping. I slept for 10 hours the last couple nights.
Just one good time. Just let me just smack you right across the
yeah,
face.
Come on.
It'll wake you up.
It will.
You won't hurt me back, though.
I didn't say that. It'll wake me up. It'll wake me up, though. Is this technically a work stoppage for baseball? Are they calling it a work stoppage? Because like, we're not technically missing anything yet.
What
like,
what kind of they're saying here.
But, okay.
Like you said, not missing any games, which is kind of good. Did you see that MLB's website removed all the player photos from the rosters because of the lockout?
Funny.
So
that's
you go and
funny.
look at the rosters on MLB. It's just a blank picture. No pictures of anybody.
It's pretty funny.
Kind of crazy there.
I wonder how serious this lockout will be. Just because, I mean, like, we're the owners, I guess, are they worried about their bottom line? Like, is last year, or I guess 2020's negotiations with COVID, is this going to spill over? Like, is this going to, are there a lot of hurt feelings over 2019, 2020?
I would think so. You would think so, at least to an extent.
Yeah. Because, I mean, like, remember, like, we thought they really might not play sports that year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it was tense. Yeah, it was tense across the board.
And, like, this has been going on for the last couple of years when it comes to free agency and, like, you know, Bryce Harper and was it Manny Machado, I guess, both those guys kind of got froze out and, like, they wouldn't give them deals until, like, basically right before the season. Like, they were trying to come together and not pay big free agents. It feels like this could be ugly, but I don't know.
Well, MLB commish, Rob Manfred.
Manfred.
Best mechanism to protect the 2022 season. So
he said what?
The best mechanism to protect the season is what he said. To protect this upcoming year.
This is just lockdown.
Yeah, just doing it now to not closer to when the season starts. They at least have some maybe time to get this organized, get it all together. But we'll see. You think if you had to guess right now, delay of the season? Most
no,
likely.
I mean a significant delay. I mean maybe a 2 week delay, but I still think they'll be playing baseball by April 15th. So maybe a 2 week delay, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe, but I still would be surprised if they didn't get something hammered out.
Doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal. Not yet. Like,
but who knows with the holidays? Maybe they don't want to get together and talk over the holidays. And
all of a sudden, the date's right around the corner. Yeah. Moving to college football, we have college football expansion meetings going on. I haven't really talked too much about the expansion. I don't think we did yesterday. Maybe a little bit, but yeah, they've been having different conversations about that, doing different models. But apparently, they cannot reach agreement on anything because they have three or four different models and the flight ranges over teams, the number of teams in the playoffs, 8 versus 12. That's what's the main issue here of why they haven't been able to get anything done.
That's the main issue. I thought the main issue was basically they didn't know if they were going to. I thought I saw the main issue was that they couldn't decide if they were giving 5 automatic qualifiers.
Well, that was part of it. It said the number of teams, 8 versus is 12, and then it also said and AQs as well, the automatic qualifiers. So that
was
kind of part of it, yeah. So, yeah, we will, guess, just have to wait on that one. I wish they just kind of – would you quit yawning in my ear? You're going to make me yawn.
I wish I could.
It spreads.
I wish I could. I haven't quit yawning for 24 hours straight. Or I guess I'll say 21 hours straight.
Might be something wrong with you. You might want to Google it.
Can't quit yawning?
Yeah. You don't know.
I don't know if I want to Google that. I'll feel like that's a dangerous game to play. Can't quit yawning.
Cam, would you rather have 8 or 12 teams in the playoffs if you had to, if you were...
Give me 12.
Power trying
I'm
to
the more.
This.
I'm the more the merrier person.
Give 12.
Thermorgulatory disorders.
So with 12, it's two teams by.
Circulatory
yeah.
disorders.
Yeah, I think you'd have to do it. You'd have
four teams by.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have to do four teams.
Not being able to stop yawning might be your body's way of showing that your circulatory system isn't working, or that your body can't regulate its body temperature. My feet were pretty.
Are you
cold?
The other day. Oh, and that's a sign.
The other day, my feet were pretty cold. Now, what does that mean when I can't? Let me Google this now. What's it mean when your circulatory system isn't working? Let's
oh,
see what
no, you
means.
Have 24 hours left.
Thank God. Please say that. Please tell me you only have 24 hours left. Please, please, please.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to watch NFL this weekend.
Please, I know. Please, please, please. Okay, what happens? Oh, God. Now you're talking about high blood pressure? Oh, God. What happens when your circulatory system doesn't work? Blood delivers oxygen to all the blood cells to stay alive. A person needs healthy living cells. All right, getting warmer. Let's go. Without oxygen, these cells could die. The oxygen-rich blood doesn't circulate as it should. A person could die. Okay, so we're getting warmer. Keep with your headlines. I'll figure out what's wrong with me.
Okay. Let's see. Where we got to know next? Offense and defensive rookies of the month. Let's just go ahead and give these guys the rookie of the year. Mac Jones.
I definitely have high blood pressure.
No surprise. Pretty much locked for rookies of the year. Tre'Davious White tore his ACL.
If I have a heart attack, I'm going to be so mad. I'm only 31 years old.
Yeah, that would be annoying.
I'm not that big. Be in the gym. I don't eat that many fried foods either. I do love biscuits and gravy, though. I probably have eaten like 15 muffins over the last 3 weeks, though.
Maybe that's... You're getting all these muffins.
I've been making them. I got this mix. I take real blueberries. I put them in this batter that's pre-made, and I put them in the oven. Come out great.
Muffin man over here. How about
A little bit.
How about it?
A little bit. I love blueberry muffins. Top five food for me.
Nah, I'd rather
especially
when
I consider like convenient food. Snack. Blueberry muffins, top five all around for me, really.
Can use it as a dessert. Can be a breakfast.
That's what I'm saying. It could be
versatile.
A little snack that holds you over in between meals. The other night I used it as a drunk food. I came home and ate three muffins instead of getting any other food. I was like, you know what? I'm
just going to eat fucking baby that night, didn't you? That
yeah.
belly full of muffins.
I know. Maybe that's why I'm tired is I haven't had my muffins lately.
That muffin kick. Tre'Davious White, he tore his ACL. Bills fans, I mean, best fans in the NFL. We can all agree with that, right? Other than Cowboys fans.
Why? Because they jumped through a table.
What are you talking
other
about?
Other than Cowboys
fans. Andy Dalton.
Because they raised money for cancer.
Well, they... Okay, man.
What do you mean? Like the nicest fans or what are we saying?
Well, yeah. Andy Dalton won him a playoff game. They donated to his charity. I can't remember what it was, but they were donating to him. Remember that?
He got him in the playoffs.
That's what I said. Did I not say that?
I think he said won a playoff game, but either way.
Well, he got him in. He's the reason they got in the playoffs. He won a game, got them in the playoffs.
Sure.
They did that. And then Tre'Davious White tore his ACL. And what do the Bills Mafia do? Donate over $100,000.
Do they start donating money to like kind of combat the idea that they were terrible?
Yes. Yeah. That's what it was for.
I thought that's kind of how it started.
Yeah.
Just like mean.
So there's like a.
They thought they were crazy. Yeah.
Kind of, is what you're saying?
Well, no.
$100,000 worth of sarcasm.
No. I'm not saying now, but I'm saying I think that's how like that tradition maybe started.
I think you're right on that. I think people used to talk about how they were just
kind of like, absurd. I mean, we just had it here in Knoxville, like where Tennessee fans were trying to donate to like Children's Hospital after the Ole Miss thing. Did you not see that like campaign where we're trying to raise like $98,000 or something?
Yep. No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, wow. After we had like gotten called like disgraceful and all these things for throwing trash on the field, people were like, hey, let's show what the real Tennessee fans are. Let's raise some money, which was nice. I kind of thought that's how Buffalo started too. It was like, I thought they had a bad reputation like a decade ago, and now they're like, hey, no, we're going to raise money all the time for you people. That's what we're going to do. Show you that we're real nice. I guess they're the best fans in the NFL. They get the credit for being at least. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I guess so.
Wow. I do appreciate that they have something besides like nation. Everybody's a damn nation.
Yeah. Cowboys nation.
Yeah. I feel like Ball Nation was first though. At least up there.
It's because you're in Knoxville.
Probably.
Heard it first here.
I feel like Ball Nation's been like since like the mid-90s, but I might be wrong.
Tre'Davious White said, I am at a loss for words. Again, $108,000. I mean, that's a lot of money. I'm at a loss for words for what the Bills Mafia has done for me and my hometown. It truly means the world to me.
Start calling them Titans support. Mafia. See how they like that.
I don't like that too much.
Titans Mafia.
You got Titan up, which is kind of like the...
Yeah, but we don't have a name for ourselves. I mean, Bills Mafia is a cool name. I like it.
It is cool. You got to admit. Not too bad. Let's see. We'll go to NBA. Man, we had a doozy last night between my Buzz City Hornets and the Milwaukee Bucks.
Oh, they got a win?
No, they had a close loss.
Miles Bridges' half-court shot went in and out. It went in and out. After LaMelo had a clutch three to tie it up, couldn't stop Giannis. He had a half-court shot that went in and out. Doo-doo, in and out. How about that? Bucks starting to get back to themselves a little bit. Huh? Starting to play a little bit better basketball. We also had Bam Adebayo. He will be out a while with a a broken finger injury, thumb surgery. So it's a thumb, 4 to 6 weeks that he will be out.
Okay.
Shout out to my Cavs who got the win for the Miami for the first time since
so
LeBron
are they your Cavs now?
Was originally in Cleveland. Not the second time, but the first time.
Are they back to being your Cavs now?
Root on both teams.
Can.
What's wrong with that?
They're in the same conference. This is what
frustrates me.
Be happy one way or the other.
Okay.
Gotta admit that.
See,
you're not really a true fit.
Speaking of winning teams, what a run our Hawks are on, Cam.
Oh, they're so good.
The run Trae Young is on. My goodness, can we talk about that for a second, Draven? We can firmly put Trae Young in the top 10 of NBA players now, right?
Absolutely.
Like, you can firmly say he's a top 10 player in the league, right?
Absolutely.
Draven, do you concur?
I'd have to make a list. I don't know, man. There's a lot of good players in the NBA. Okay.
Name them.
Name nine better.
Right,
name now. 10. Since you say he's not top 10, name 10 better, please.
Yeah, that's a true. Good point. Name 10 better.
I can do it. Get to you after the break.
Okay. Do it after the break.
Okay.
Do you have any more headlines? Or
I actually had one more I wanted to do. Where was it? Is Miami just not that desirable of a job anymore? Does nobody want to go to Miami? Do you see the New Mexico's AD turn them down?
Oh.
Eddie Nunez was he was the leading candidate to go to Miami, and then he was just like, nah. He just withdrew from considering.
Nunez makes him sound Hispanic, too. Like, that he would, like, want to...
Yeah.
Like, maybe be down there, like, in a Hispanic-rich community.
And that's probably why, you know, maybe Miami was targeting him, too. But, yeah, he withdrew from consideration to stay at New Mexico. Is Miami just maybe not as appealing as we, like, tried to make it out to be? Maybe I know we've said...
Miami is not dissimilar to Tennessee in the sense that, like, behind the scenes, there seemed to be kind of a mess. Miami, we've talked about, has the same, like, they also have a problem deciding if they want to be like a football school or like an academic school. Yeah. So, like, I just think that there's a lot of power. I think there's a couple of different groups there, like, are pulling in different directions. And maybe it's like, hey, I don't want to come there and have to immediately make a decision on whether I'm firing Manny Diaz or hiring somebody else. Maybe, like, no, I'm good. Now, again, if you're at New Mexico State, though, that seems a little weird, right?
Yeah. I was like, wait, what?
Seems a little weird to be there. But either way, let's go to headlines. We'll come back with Draven's top 10 NBA players. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, Draven, let's hear them, your top 10 NBA players. Okay. As we haven't seen you or heard you really watch any basketball year, let's hear you give the top 10 players in the league.
Well, is this top 10 this year or top 10 in general?
Top 10 right now. What do you mean in general or right now? What's the difference?
It could be like top 10 active. Top 10.
Well, right now.
Top 10 all time.
Like,
yeah,
just judging based on what they've done this season, or is it like the last couple years? Like the last couple years,
I mean,
right? Like, it's not just what we've done in 20 games.
Well,
so
to
far
me,
this
I mean,
year.
Can you put Kawhi Leonard in the top 10 this year when he hasn't played all year and he probably won't play this year? I say no.
Well, he's not on the list.
Can you put LeBron on there? Maybe. Like, if you want to put LeBron as a top 10 player, I'll allow that. But Kawhi Leonard, no. I think that's fair.
Yeah, that's fair. That's tough. This list does get pretty tough here when you start to narrow it down.
No, let's hear it. You scoffed at the idea.
10, yeah.
Tell me 10 better than my boy Trey.
Okay. Well, this is my list. Top 10.
Let me get the drum roll
players,
for you.
According to Draven here.
Get the drums.
Number one, Giannis.
Who starts list at number one?
Yeah.
We're more focused on the 10.
Okay, fair enough.
Trey would be right at 10. We all know who the top.
You know what?
Most of us know who the top five is.
That's completely fine. You're right.
KD.
Okay.
Numero dos.
You got to wait for the drums, but either way, go ahead.
Oh, we're doing the drums every time?
Yeah, I mean, it's how.
Hit it.
Number two.
Kevin Durant.
Okay.
Ooh. All right.
Any problems so far?
I got no problems with that.
Nope, so far,
I'm
so good.
I'm not dumb.
Number three. Steph Curry.
Okay.
Okay. Pretty reasonable.
I think your top three is good. Your top three, I mean, that's not the order I think I would have them in right now, but either way, it's fine.
Or would you change it up? Who's the best player in the NBA right now? Is it Steph? I will say, let's not forget, Steph kind of folds in big games a little bit. He did in the finals. He did earlier this week. I'm just saying, a lot of people might think Steph is because he's feels like the MVP right now. I'm not forgetting that Suns game. I'm not forgetting some finals performances. I'm not forgetting these big games he folds in.
Okay.
Kevin Durant, that's all he did in the big game with nobody last year. A lot of guys hurt.
Lost.
He had 2 inches away from, actually maybe less than that. He was inches away from a game-winning shot.
Okay.
That's what he was. That's what happened.
Sure. But he lost. Yeah. Nah, it wasn't his fault.
That wasn't his fault. Number four.
Game five. What a performance game five was.
Nikolai Jokic coming in at number four.
Got no problem with your top four.
Okay. Seems reasonable. Jokic still playing pretty well. Doing a lot of guys hurt. I think he deserves to be top five for sure.
So far this year, Jokic's been top five offense and defense. He is a he's a beast.
Hit it.
He's one of two people. Him and Giannis are the only two to be top five in both.
Okay.
Numero, what are we at? Six or five. Number five. Luka! Luka! Luka balled last night, by the way. And they shot 68%
Did they beat the
night.
Pelicans?
They shot 68%. That's the highest they've ever shot in Mavericks history. How about that?
That great 68%. Pelicans defense, you know, over there.
Are you going to give the same disclaimers about big games and stuff that you do with Curry and how he hasn't won anything?
Well, Luka's had less of an opportunity than Steph. Steph's been doing it for a long time.
Well, you don't make the playoffs. Or, you know.
So what does Luka do so far better this year than Trey? Because now here we're getting to the point where I think it's getting a little iffy. What does he do better? Doesn't score better. Doesn't shoot better. Doesn't pass better. Rebounds better, sure.
Yeah.
So rebounding like
defense.
I think they're both pretty much the same on defense.
Distributor, I would still probably take Luka.
At distributing?
Yeah.
What about his...
By the way, Porzingis is looking good again. He's gotten Porzingis back on the map. How about that?
What about his... Well, it's almost like him passing the ball makes the Mavericks better. Wow, who could have ever seen that coming? It's almost like his teammates didn't suck and they should pass the ball more. So you think he's a better distributor as he averages less assists and more turnovers. Got it. Okay. Just wanted to make sure that you think that's... Okay, just checking.
That's fine. Better defender, better rebounder.
Does it score? Does it shoot as good? Does it pass as good?
More of a game, too. Trae Young is floaters and threes. Luka can push you up. Luka can shoot threes. He can shoot the step backs. He can take it to the rim one-on-one. A little bit better than Trae. Trey's good at it. No disrespect to Trae, but Luka's number five. Ready to keep going?
So far this year, Luka, who you said can shoot better, is shooting 34% from three to Trae Young's 38.9% from three. But, okay, go ahead.
Spicy. And, man, Trae be taking those deep threes,
yeah,
too.
But go ahead. Yeah, he's a better shooter at 34% and a 33% career three-point shooter. Yes, Luka can shoot better. Yeah. Dead on there.
Checks out.
Seems like he hits more timely threes.
I mean, that's fine. You could say the same thing about Russell Westbrook, but I don't think anybody's calling him a three-point shooter. Again, a 33% career three-point shooter, and someone this year who is shooting 34.3%. But sure, he's a better shooter. You are, I guess, right about that, my friend.
All right. Who do you have next?
What do we got? Six. Number six. LeBron James. LeBron. I got to put him in top 10, man.
That's fine.
LeBron healthy. When he gets healthy, he's still got to be at least a lot for me to take him outside of the top five because I still want to say he's a top five player. But
I'm all right with the career achievement award for LeBron. You know, now, if you told me that you would rather have him this regular season than Trae Young, I think you would be lying to yourself. But sure, when the playoffs come, you got a better chance of winning a championship with LeBron James and Trae Young. But again, regular season, I don't know if I agree because how many damn games LeBron even played this regular season? 12?
If that.
He seems dangerously close to checked out. He's played 11 games. He seems dangerously close to checked out. Yeah. It feels like this Cleveland season is headed for like that Cavs season where Lakers, like they get to the trade deadline and they just trade everybody. Like, Dwayne Wade was on his team. He's like, all right, you're out of here too, buddy. I'm trading you away. I'm trading everyone away. Jordan Clarkson, you're gone.
Who the hell are they going to trade?
Who's going to just trade for just spare pieces? If you were asking me to bet right now, I'd say it's 50-50 that Russell Westbrook's on the team after the trade deadline.
get John
Wall. Maybe just be like, hey, we'll go after John Wall. Give us John Wall. Yeah, we'll take like, our chance with John
just
Wall.
Swap.
Yep.
Try something new.
Yep. We'll try John Wall. All right. So we're down to number six.
Where are we at? Seven? We're at seven, right?
That I thought LeBron? Luka was five, LeBron was six. Is that how that went?
Yeah, so we're at seven.
So we're at seven.
Okay.
Hit it. Number seven, we're going to put Damian Lillard at number seven.
Are we doing another career achievement award for a guy who has not had as much success as Trae Young has?
What are you talking about success-wise?
I mean, team success? Have I missed where the Portland's actually won some conference finals games? Did they not get swept the one time they made the conference finals?
Oof.
They both still got there.
I mean, yeah, but some won some games there.
Who were the Trailblazers playing? The
Warriors?
The Warriors, who were unbelievably talented that year?
As were the Bucks, who won the championship. But either way, and Trey got hurt.
Is it
Damian Lillard's 39.7% from the field this year that's really turning you on? His 30% from three?
Damian Lillard's not shot the ball particularly well this year, but he still has enough clutch moments. Has enough clutch moments. I mean, has carried that franchise enough to where he still should be in the top 10.
So is it a career achievement award? Is that what we're saying?
Well, that's why I asked if it was over
I'm
the last few years.
You,
if we're taking
if
we're taking the first 20 games, he would not be in the top 10.
If I'm asking you right now for the rest of the season, and I mean, really if you want to get to like the next 3 years, you're saying Dame.
Yes, I'm saying Dame.
Okay, so again, it says 30% from three this year, and
I think if anything,
sub 40% from the field shooting.
I think those numbers are done on purpose. I think he's trying to force his way out of Portland.
Okay.
So and when purpose, he gets to a new team and
Russell Westbrook for Dame Lillard.
Now we're talking.
Feels like this list is really starting to run out of steam as you are trying hard not to bend the knee. But okay, go ahead. Okay. Again, Damian Lillard, 21 points a game this year, which is 5 points less than Trae Young. 7.8 assists, which is 1.3 assists fewer, I think. And again, sub 40% from the field, 30% from three. But okay, go ahead.
Ooh.
All while playing worse defense than Trae Young.
Yep.
I mean, at least at the very least, the same amount of defense.
Again, I think he's playing his way out of Portland. Still got it.
Okay, well, that's what I want for my guy. That's what I want for my top seven player. He's trying to tank his way out of Portland.
You don't think Damian Lillard is dumb enough to say, hey, I'm a top 10 player in the NBA?
I do not think Damian Lillard is a top 10 player in the NBA right now in 2021. I think Damian Lillard is on the decline a little bit. Now, maybe it's a motivation thing, but, like, I mean, you can't. I mean, 20 games is getting to be a pretty decent sample size.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not shooting the ball very well this year. I think we acknowledge he needs to be an elite shooter to be a top 10 player. But either way, I'll give him a little bit more of a benefit of the doubt.
Okay. Again, he's proven a lot in his career. Number eight, Cam.
I don't know. I mean, sure. Yes. Mm-hmm.
He's had some clutch moments. He's had clutch moment after clutch moment.
So is Trae Young.
Well.
So is Trae Young.
I don't remember him.
You don't remember the one last year?
I remember that. That's it. That's one.
Oh, I mean, he made the playoffs 1 year and went on a run and got his team to the conference finals.
Well, Damian Lillard's been on a couple runs with teams that we've always thought that were not that good. You could agree with that. Portland's never been like, oh, yeah, that Portland team, they're going to win the championship this year.
I would say it's probably because of what
they probably honestly have usually typically what lowest odds to win the finals.
I would say it's typically because of what we think of Dame Lillard. But either way, go ahead.
Number eight.
Drum meme?
Yeah.
Because I really want to hear 8 out of 10. I really want to hear 8 out of 10. Because we've really run out of steam.
They already roll. Number 8, we have Jason Tatum.
3 seconds.
What is it? What?
Okay. Oh, my God.
He's played so well.
Uh-huh.
24 points.
Yeah, less than Trae Young.
He is averaging almost 9 rebounds a game.
Wow.
And 4 assists, almost.
4 assists?
Wow. 3.6.
That's not 4 assists. while shooting sub 40% and sub 32% from three, yeah, he's better.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. In what world?
Rebounds, defense.
Rebounds. Okay.
I don't think you realize how much deficit Trae Young can be defensively and rebounding wise.
If that's the case, let's hold on a second. Let's look at some actual numbers here, since we're just making stuff up. If that's the case, you know what? Just go ahead. That's fine. If you want to make defense, that's fine. Okay. So, Jason Tatum.
Again, you're taking
number eight. No, go ahead.
You're only taking these 20 games as a sample size. I find that a little ridiculous.
Did you watch any of last year?
Yeah.
Jason Tatum leading a team for the first time. What did they do? 7 seed, knocked out in the playoffs. Won one game. Oh, okay.
Come on, man. He didn't have anybody. He didn't have Jaylen Brown out there. Oh. That team was not even good to begin with.
Oh, okay.
They're 500 team the whole season.
Okay.
And lost the second best player.
Right, so the team they were the first time he was leading the team, they Got a 7 seed.
Roll the drums.
Got it. Just check.
All right. Yeah, give us number 9.
I like number 9. Oh, no. I'm excited about number 9.
LaMelo Ball.
PG-13. Paul George. Paul George has been balling this year.
I'm not even going to argue Paul George.
Paul George has been balling this
Paul
year.
Paul George probably should have been higher on your list.
Yeah.
Probably should have, honestly.
Yeah.
I thought about replacing him with Tatum, but I've been kind of back and forth.
Well, I was, I was going more like Luka and like and Dame Lillard, there, but either way.
Well, we'll say – actually, no, I won't say that. No, I'm just going to throw him in at number 10.
But even as good as Paul George has been, he's averaging less points and less assists, worse shooting than Trae Young.
Again,
but go ahead.
Again, this is – past just all right.
Who's your 10th guy that's ahead of
number
Trey?
Number 10. We got another point guard.
Oh.
Point guard. You ready? It's not Trey.
You said
Young.
Point guard, so I assume it's Chris Paul.
Yeah, I put CP, okay. CP3 in the
you kind of ruined the bigger field.
Yeah. I know. I probably should have said that. But CP3, I think he deserves to be in the top 10. Honorable mention as well, I think the next best point guard would be Ja Morant, and then Trae Young would come in around 13 or 14.
There's no planet where Ja Morant's better than Trae Young. There's no planet where Ja Morant is.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't fall in that camp.
That's a stupid take.
Ja Morant's been playing really well, man. Really, really
and the
well.
The Grizzlies are 30th in defense in the league.
You don't need your point guard to play defense.
Oh, you don't? Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. let's let Draven get Jordan Ajani on the G3 Help Me Hotlines after the break. I'm excited to hear you guys talk some NFL as I go to the go outside and try to get some caffeine. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Here in the Fan Run Studios, Draven, you know who we got on the line.
Uh-oh.
Jordan. We got Jordan Ajani from CBSSports.com helping us out here on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. Jordan, appreciate you joining us today. John's a little checked out on the NFL right now. So we're running this little interview here.
It's all us, Jordan.
What's going on, guys? Yeah, what's going on with John? Cam, did he go full Cody McClure here? Is he just out on sports now?
Yeah, at least NFL-wise. He said he's taking the weekend off. He's not even in the room right now. He walked out to get his mind clear. He's just, you know, Titans faltered a little bit, and it's weighing heavy on him. He needs a week to reset and try to get his head back right. So we'll see. Maybe the bye week's going to help. That's the best case. That's all we got now.
Just get the weekend
off.
Yeah,
it's good. It's good to hear that I'm an important person to him, and that he appreciates my insight that I try to bring to his show. So thank you, John. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, Jordan, I guess this past week in the NFL, interesting results, I guess, across the league. A lot of teams still hanging around those last playoff spots. Is there any of these teams that you see that are kind of hovering around the bubble for the playoffs that you think are making a good late-season push here?
Yeah, you know, I'll start with the Washington football team. I don't know if they're going to end up staying and retaining that number 7 seed right now, but they're playing good ball as of late. They're on, I think, a 3-game win streak. They had a good win over Seattle at home in primetime. Mm-hmm. Really, you look at both of these conferences, and the playoff picture is extremely jumbled. The Los Angeles Chargers are another team that seem like they might be falling down. They have an important matchup against Cincy this week as well. So, you know, we learned a little bit something about the playoff picture there in Week 12, but I think we're going to get maybe just a little bit more clarity in terms of direction for some of these teams on the bubble here this Sunday.
Absolutely, yeah. Lots of big games, like you mentioned, that Chargers-Bengals game that have these playoff implications coming up.
Huge.
Any other games you're looking forward to this week that you think are really big as far as the season moving forward and playoff implications?
Yeah, in terms of playoff implications, you know, we could talk about the Ravens-Steelers. That's going to be an intriguing matchup. The Steelers just got curb stomped, and we're going to see if they can come back and try to give Lamar Jackson and company a game. Jackson, of course, is coming off of a really bad performance in terms of the interception statistical column, but we know the kind of playmaker he is. So that would be an interesting matchup. You know, but there's some other games that I'm interested in that don't necessarily have postseason implications. I think Kyler Murray and maybe DeAndre Hopkins are returning to the starting lineup for the Cardinals. Okay. They take on Chicago. So, you know, a lot of people are giving Arizona respect, even though they have the number one seed in the NFC. You know, if they really go out there and dominate Justin Fields and the Bears, then obviously that's going to be a team we're talking about as we go through this, you know, final stretch in the regular season. The other game, really, that I think everyone should be excited for is the New England Patriots at the Buffalo Bills. I mean, in terms of the AFC East consequences, the AFC Conference consequences at large, and then this could be a great measuring stick for Mac Jones as well to go up against one of the best defenses in the NFL. In my mind, that's the game of the week.
Yeah, that should be an awesome one. And like you said, huge as far as the division and playoffs for those two teams. Well, since I guess John's out of the room, we can kind of touch on the subject real quick. What level of panic do you think the Titans should be at right now?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, it's really subjective, because if you're a Titans fan wondering about your chances at the number one seed, then you're going to be obviously in a very big panic mode. You're going to be very panicked about that situation. The Titans have a lot of injuries. They haven't been playing good football. There's other teams such as the Baltimore Ravens, New England Patriots, Kansas City Chiefs, that have the more opportunity to streak, if you will, towards these next final weeks where they can secure the number one seed. So, yeah, I don't think the Titans are grabbing that number one seed. You got to worry about the Colts, too, as well in the division. Now, in my mind, I do think the Titans can secure the AFC South. It would be great to have that number one seed so you can get back as many people as possible healthy for that playoff run. Getting that first-round bye, obviously, is very, very big. But in my mind, you look at some of these big injuries Tennessee has with Bud Dupree, Julio Jones, A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry. As of now, all of those players I just named are guys that I think we expect to come back in the coming weeks, or at least for the playoffs. So the Titans, they're not going to be full strength, per se, when we enter the postseason, but they still will have some important pieces back to hopefully make a playoff run.
We're talking about a struggling AFC team in the Titans, Jordan. What about the Los Angeles Rams over in the NFC? Is there more of a panic level there? Because, I mean, you got all these talent, man. You add Von Miller, you add Odell. It feels like maybe too many cooks in the kitchen over there in L.A. What's your thoughts on the Rams in this three-game losing streak?
Yeah, this past week is the first time I actually became panicked about the Rams. You know, I was pretty high on this team coming into this season, but there's two different reasons why you should be panicked about this club. The first is that they've somehow lost their physicality. I think we saw that against the 49ers a couple of weeks ago, where the offensive and defensive fronts were just getting dominated by the pure physicality of the 49ers fronts. That's going to be a big deal when it comes to trying to evaluate legitimate contenders. You know, you've got to be able to assert your will. That's kind of the nature of football, and we haven't really seen that from the Los Angeles Rams. Now, the other part of it, which is probably more important, is Matthew Stafford's health. I mean, we saw the reports come out Sunday morning that he's dealing with a myriad of injuries, right? I mean, back, leg, arm, shoulder, whatever it was, just a lot of stuff. And a lot of people say, oh, that's just excuses for Matthew Stafford, you know, which is an interesting narrative. But when he came out against the Green Bay Packers, it was pretty clear that he looked hampered by something. He was inaccurate throwing the football. He didn't look as, not that he's a mobile quarterback by any means, but he looked less mobile than he previously was. There's something going on with Matthew Stafford, and when you limit his ceiling, that's going to limit your ceiling as a franchise as well. So we're currently sitting at the number five seed in the NFC, but, you know, in terms of them being a contender, I'm kind of writing them off right now, or at least feeling like I'm doing so.
Jordan, I want to say in the NFC West, too, I got to ask about the situation with the Seattle Seahawks, man. I mean, I don't even want to ask if their season's done, because it is. I feel like you can put a fork in them, no doubt about it. But the future of, like, Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll, like, do you see this being maybe Russell Wilson's last season with the Seahawks? Because this is the worst they have looked in his whole entire career, and it's not even close at this point.
I do. And, you know, it's interesting. I think I've talked about it on this show before, but last offseason, we heard reports about Russell Wilson being disgruntled, you know, allegedly wanting more say in the franchise. He wasn't happy with some things that were going down. I think that was a legitimate story. In fact, I think that CBS Sports was the one that actually broke that story. But in terms of how serious that situation was at the time, you know, was up to anybody's guess. But I think that coming around to this next offseason, the one that's upcoming, we're going to see some of that disgruntlement, if you will, bubble up to the surface once again. And that's why I do think that Russell Wilson, if I had to put my money on it right now, I do think that he'll be playing for a different team in 2022. And where it gets really interesting is, do you think the Seahawks would be okay with that? Could this be an amicable divorce? I think that there's a possibility for that as well. Someone rose that point up to me. And if the Seahawks are somewhat on board with it, that just enhances the chances that this divorce will actually come to fruition. So, yeah, at this point right now, the Seahawks look like they're cooked. I think their season is done. Not much chance for a playoff berth, and I think Russell Wilson might be playing somewhere else next year.
Yeah, and yet they're still out here signing people like Adrian Peterson.
Still trying to win.
I guess. But I got to do it because I know Draven wants to hear it. What do you think about the game tonight?
I mean, yeah, I can't be too excited for it. It would have been interesting if the Saints were somewhat near full strength. But I really did think Alvin Kamara was going to go. He was a limited participant in every practice session this week, but I don't know if he had some kind of setback, but he's not going to go. And adding on to that, the Saints won't have their starting left or right tackle as well. Mm. They're undergoing a change under center with Taysom Hill. I think that's the right move because Trevor Siemian was certainly not the guy. And I mean, he was getting chants against him by the home crowd on Thanksgiving Day. No one wants that. Taysom Hill, you know, adds a different kind of element to your offense. When everything's going well in terms of the defensive side of the ball playing well, your playmakers, you know, getting their best to get open, that can be a winning formula with the versatility Taysom Hill brings. But the Saints are just so beat up. I don't think we're going to see that. In fact, I think Taysom Hill could be flailing on prime time tonight, and a lot of people will once again be guessing why Sean Payton loves this kid so much as a quarterback. He's a great athlete. He can do a lot of things, but I think this is a good right spot for the Cowboys. They're getting Amari Cooper back. I think they're set up for a big run towards the end of the season.
I love it. I love it. All right, Greg, before we get you out of here, I got to ask about how your picks are going.
Yeah, good question. So the Janie Dimes has really been the Janie droppings when it comes to the overall ATS record. But at the same time, you're not supposed to trail every single one of my picks. You're supposed to trail my top five locks of the week.
That's true.
We retained the winning record there. We went 3-2 last week.
Okay.
I nailed both of the primetime games in Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football. Was happy about that. My worst pick was probably picking the Carolina Panthers. I don't know why I continued to... I don't know why I continue to buy into this alleged hype that Cam Newton injected into this franchise, because he's not a he's not a legitimate starting quarterback anymore. This offensive line is putrid, and the defense, for some reason, is not playing good ball. So the Panthers are going to be out of my column probably for the rest of the year. when it comes to a pick I can give you this week, you know, I'm eyeing a money line parlay.
Okay.
The Cowboys, the Buccaneers, and the Cardinals, all on the money line. That brings it up to +107, so you can put some money on there. I'll repeat it. Cowboys, Buccaneers, Cardinals. Now, if you're looking for an ATS pick, I'm kind of interested in this Monday night game, New England at Buffalo.
Okay.
It was crazy because when I looked at this matchup, I was really curious what Vegas was going to draw it at. I really identified this spot as a letdown spot for the Patriots. Maybe the Bills can get back on track. And I was surprised that Vegas actually initially agreed with me. This line reopened at Bills -3. Did not like that at all, but thankfully it's been bet down to Bills -2.5.
Nice.
And I think this is where I'm going to jump on it. I mean, like I said, Mac Jones, great quarterback. He's going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year in my mind. But he's had the backing of a great defense, a good offensive line, and a great rushing attack as well. That has made his life just a little bit easier, you can admit. Now, we might see a situation here on primetime where he's going to have to stand up and shoulder the load through the passing game. Is he going to be able to do that? Because I don't think we've seen a situation like that with Mac Jones. And this Buffalo defense, I mean, they're tied for second in the NFL with 25 takeaways, 16 interceptions. This is a really good defense, and they're going to have the backing of their home crowd as well. So the Patriots, what are they, on a five-game win streak or six straight wins? I think this is a letdown spot. I'm going to ride the Bills.
Okay, that's your lock. Are you locking that one in?
Yeah, I haven't had many formidable locks as of late, if you will. But yeah, that's going to be my lock, I guess you could say.
All right. Well, Jordan, you got anything else you're working on right now?
Yeah. This week I sat down with Buccaneers tight end Rob Gronkowski. We had a good conversation about what his second year in Tampa is like. You know, we compared and contrasted Super Bowl runs from New England to Tampa. He was a great interview. He was really excited after that win against the Colts. You know, he called it like a postseason win. It was a postseason environment. He talked about it. He's really excited for this final stretch for the Buccaneers. So we had a good conversation. Go check that out on CBSSports.com.
Sweet. Yeah, appreciate you coming on, Jordan. Everybody, yeah, check him out on CBSSports.com. Follow him on Twitter. Appreciate you coming on with us. Hopefully, John's back in the NFL moon next week.
All right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate y'all.
Yeah, have a good one, Jordan. All right. Jordan joined us on the G3 Help Me Hotlines.
Your loved one has been injured in an accident. The Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III can help get you the compensation that you deserve. At G3, you matter most. Call them at 865-401-8214 or visit g3helpme.com. Once again, that's g3helpme.com. Let's catch a break. Appreciate Jordan Jani. Good job by you boys holding it down. Give me a nice little NFL break. I appreciate it. Let's go to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. I got a new graphic to read. There's so many stats out here. Some of them I don't even know how the hell to read. As you guys have heard, I don't even know what the hell how to do passer rating or QBR. But all right, we come up with a composite, not us, but a someone has, that takes in quarterback help. So I guess this takes in your special teams, how well you run the ball, how good your defense is, and whether or not your wide receivers can get open.
And pass block rate.
If your offensive line is blocking for you. So basically he says, like, are you set up for success as a quarterback, and how does your play – I guess this doesn't take anything to do with how the quarterback plays, right? It's just the team surrounding him.
I'm taking this, though, like, if I see a quarterback really high on this that has a lot of help and they aren't great, I'm taking that as that quarterback really stinks. That's kind of how I'm
Yeah, sure, but, like, that's not taken into effect in these rankings, mm-hmm. though. Like, you can draw that conclusion, sure, but these are just – here are the quarterbacks who have the best run game, defense – passing, you know, pass protection and special teams, essentially. Correct?
Yep.
The top five setups for quarterbacks, starting at number five, not really surprising. I mean, he's got good receivers. We think of them as a good run defense. Mm-hmm. Running back's pretty good. Special teams, I don't really think about their special teams often. But
and I'm sure those receivers get open.
Yep. Tom Brady, number five.
Yep.
Number four, I think we've kind of seen that from the way that they've been with him out, but Kyler Murray has been given a lot of help so far this year.
Makes sense.
Number three, which I think is important to remember when you're judging rookie quarterbacks, because some of the other top picks come in low on this list. But number three is Mac Jones. Mac Jones has the third best situation of any quarterback so far this year when it comes to his supporting cast. Does that surprise you, or does that check out and pass the eye test?
Checks out for me. I think that's kind of – I mean, that's what the Patriots, I think kind of pride themselves on, is putting their quarterbacks in good situations, which is why, as good as Tom Brady is, he also was doing unreal stuff in New England, just because they always had those good all-around teams. And, yeah, this just makes things a little easier on Mac. Like, Mac's a good quarterback still, but, like, with that on top of it, it's going to amplify him and allow them to do things like they're doing right now with this win streak.
Number two, Jalen Hurts.
That was a little surprising.
That should not be surprising. It's all RPOs in Philly, man. It's all RPOs. Yeah. Like, they weren't running the football, and they're running screen passes left and right. Like,
I guess this goes to kind of what Cam says, though. Like, with the other three quarterbacks we've mentioned so far, and with number one that we haven't got to, it's Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Those four guys having pretty good years.
Yeah.
Josh Allen underachieving for him.
Sure.
The most help. For
sure.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree with that.
Back to what I was saying in the offseason, but either way. But, like, we think of those guys as having pretty good years. I don't think we're saying the same thing about Jalen Hurts. So, like, I mean, I guess if I am trying to evaluate Jalen Hurts, it's not going to give him a good grade, like, in terms of, like, him being my quarterback for the future. He isn't elevating this team by any means. He's just kind of being propped up by everyone else.
Yeah, and then he's still struggling a little bit. I will say this stuff does factor out QB runs. So I guess obviously that would probably benefit him a little bit. But
that would be him doing that.
Yeah. So I guess, like, outside of the help, that's what he's doing on his own. But yeah, besides that, you're not like, oh yeah, Jalen Hurts is killing it out here passing the ball by any means. So
this does seem fairly accurate when you look at the bottom of the list in terms of the quarterbacks in the worst situations.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom five, again, if you're judging your rookie quarterbacks, take into account Justin Fields has not been helped by anybody, pretty much. Special team stinks. His receivers stink. Or his receivers are actually they're at a low rate. No one's open for him. The play calling's bad. The offensive protection's bad. Everything's bad for Justin Fields, who comes in fifth from the bottom on this.
He's got the worst receiver open rate, it looks like.
No surprise that a tanking team would be here at fourth worst. Tyrod Taylor hasn't been helped at all with the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Jones receiving the third least help.
Checks out, I guess. Run game hasn't been productive. That line stinks. Receivers haven't really done much, even with, like, Galladay and stuff out there.
Yeah, and I don't think of them as having, like, a really good defense either. Yeah. Special teams is the epitome of average. They have a zero rating on that, which usually goes positive and negative. They're just perfectly even and average. Tua comes in second from worst, so maybe when you're evaluating Tua, something to keep in mind if you believe these metrics.
Yep.
And number one, the quarterback receiving the least amount of help in the entire NFL. Maybe we've been too hard on him. Matt Ryan.
What do you know? What do you know?
How about that, Cam?
What do you know? And yet there's still those who have complained, but he's the problem with the team.
Now, I mean, I would say that maybe paying him $40 million isn't very good for roster building. But
I mean, he props up obviously a terrible roster to a tie for a playoff spot. So
sure, we'll see where it winds up. You know, with his performance and with the playoff team, because you know some would say that's the reason why you tank instead of you know not drafting a quarterback whenever you don't have any help around him. But yeah, I mean, the rest of this list: Derek Carr, 26th. He's right ahead of Jared Goff. Those guys not getting any help. Mm-hmm. Derek Carr, Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins. How about that? Kirk Cousins playing pretty well. Yeah. No help.
Yeah, 25th down there.
Big Ben, Taylor Heineke, Trevor Lawrence. Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill and Jimmy Garoppolo. That's kind of the bottom.
Kind of surprised there. Baker's in the top 10 with help. Well, I guess that makes sense, but he's been
got a good run game. Yeah.
Defense is good.
I would say for part of the year the offensive line's been pretty good, but whenever Conklin's out, that seems to kind of go by the wayside.
Yep.
Seems to kind of go.
Where
by
was
the wayside.
Dak? By the way,
smack dab in the middle, number 17.
Okay.
Right above Russell Wilson.
Their rush EPA isn't good, so I guess their running backs aren't doing as good as we think. They should be getting more yards is what it says, basically. Mm-hmm. Now, their defense has been below average. The receivers are open, basically at an average rate. And the pass win rate for Dak, pretty low as well. The pass blocking win rate. So, like, yeah, Dak hasn't had a lot of help. Now, I do think like there's been some injuries on some of these teams. Like, with the Titans, I think this will look different if, you know, Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown and Julio were healthy. With you know, even with you know Matt Ryan, probably looks a little different if Calvin Ridley's out there.
Yeah, and I think even if you took like a little smaller sample size for like Tua, if you took like the last few weeks, I feel like his would be better with the way that defense has changed and stuff like that.
Sure.
So.
I do like that we're trying to create new stats to kind of you know give more context to what we're seeing. I don't know if this one will pan out. It's a new one. It's the first time I've seen this. But in the bottom five checks out. Those teams don't have a lot of help. So, I mean, it seems accurate there, right? I mean, we think the Bears, Texans, Giants, Dolphins, and Falcons have kind of been a mess.
Yep.
So, I mean, that seems to check out. We think of the teams at the top having pretty good rosters, except the Eagles. That one kind of caught me by surprise, especially when you see the way Jalen Hurts has played. Got some NFL tonight. FanDuel Sportsbook wants to hook you up, make the game more exciting. How about them Cowboys? Who dat? Head-to-head. And FanDuel Sportsbook wants to make the gigantic Week 13 matchup even bigger. New customers can get 30-1 odds on either team to win. That means you could turn $5 into $150 when you bet tonight. Taking the Cowboys, 6-point favorites. Taking the Cowboys.
Yep.
How about them? FanDuel Sportsbook. We love FanDuel Sportsbook. It's America's number one rated sportsbook app. It's my number one rated sportsbook app. It's easy to use. It's safe. It's secure. When you win, you can get paid in as little as 2 hours. If you're already a FanDuel Sportsbook user, well, listen up. Because first was for new customers. You can get this as an existing customer. All customers can get $50 when you refer a friend. And your friend, well, they'll get $50 too. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Sign up with the promo code TALKSPORTS before this Thursday night matchup, and you could take $5. Turn it into $150. Remember, use your promo code TALKSPORTS so I know that we sent you. Exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus of $150. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem. Call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. Hour two in the books. We'll kick off hour three of headlines. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.